Welcome to Checking In with Michelle Williams, a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect. I am so excited about this episode and who I get to interview, this amazing, sweet, sweet hummingbird. Yes, y'all, she goes by the name of Tweet. We're going to dig in and just tap into her life and all that she has going on. She is amazing. Y'all, come on in. Come on in. Check in. Have a seat. We are about to get it started. We're about to check in with Tweet. Y'all, I'm so excited about this week's episode. I know that there's going to be amazing history dropped, inspiration dropped. Y'all, I have the songstress, brilliant voice, brilliant gift. She is hailed as one of the best voices of the new millennium. I'm going to say as one of the best voices ever.
No.
Yes, ma'am. And she has collaborated with some of our favorites, Whitney Houston, Monica, Kiki Wyatt, Selena Johnson, Little Mo, Trina, Karen Clark Sheard, Missy Elliott. Y'all, please welcome the soulful, beautiful Tweet.
Oh my God. Can I get that on tape? Sorry.
Listen, I know that we're taught to be humble, but you must know who you are in these music streets.
Listen, I don't know. You know what I mean? I really don't even.
Take time today to feel yourself.
Yeah, I will.
Come on, Tweet. Listen, we're going to talk about amazing things you got going on, but let me love on you.
Oh, man.
Your writing, your choices of music, your choices of how you layer and harmonize. I feel like you just be so laid back. Your voice is like, now, I know brown liquor does a number on me, but I feel like brown liquor has a little more flavor. So it's smooth and sweet, just like your new line of Moscato. We gonna get there.
Yeah, we get there.
We gonna get there. But at the same time, I like pound cake fresh out the oven.
Right.
It's all of that. It's all of that. And I like sugar on my grits. It's sweet. And I'm just so thankful for you. I'm thankful for your life. And we're going to also get to this, that I'm thankful that it's a choice that you make every day to continue to choose life.
Yeah. I thank you for your testimony and for showing everything about your life, because I was like, that's me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how to, you know, deal with it. And you showed us how to. So thank you. Yes, ma'am. And not only did I put sugar in my grits, I put eggs in my grits too.
Now, see, that's what you call a nice little scramble bowl. You know, it's a new fancy. It's just called a scramble.
We do sugar down here.
Yes. See, come on, somebody. Everybody else that's talking otherwise, it's almost you're blasphemous. And I don't know if there's a space for you in heaven if you eat them otherwise.
You can't just do grits with just salt.
Salt, like, come on. And that's why I love you even more. And that's why we are checking in today. I just also want to say congratulations on your new single.
Thank you.
It's called Never Gonna Break My Heart Again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been on repeat since it's come out. Do you consider it a ballad? It just moves.
Yeah.
Do you consider it a ballad? Okay. I know you were saying that it reflects on heartbreak that you've experienced and how you vow.
Mm-hmm.
To protect your heart.
Yeah.
Now, what I like about that is there's no blame in blaming the other person. You're saying you're going to take control and say, you know what? Come on. Give us more background on that.
Okay. So you know how you be in a relationship and
yes,
you fall in love with the idea of love, first of all. And then fall in love with that first initial person that they introduce you to. So that's
portrayal.
Yeah. So that's the representative that they give you. So the whole relationship, that's who you are in love with, because that's who really what love is. That's what they give you because they do that. But beyond that, you know, months later, they do some certain things that,
yeah,
you know, and you might not talk, you know, I say it's over, but you know, you're still in love with that person and you go back and you think it's going to be okay, but you fall in love again. Well, you're still in love, but they still do, not still, but they do some things that will break your heart all over again. Mm. So every time you go back, you get your heart broken over again. And I'm saying, I'm never going back. That's the song, period.
That's it. It's easy. I'm never going back. So would you say that if a person is listening and they choose to go back to the relationship, they're choosing to go back to the person that is right now, not your idea?
They're not going back to the person that they are right now. They're going back to the idea of who that person was when they first met them.
But what I'm saying is, should you now go back to, because you're making a choice, this is who you are. Can I handle that?
No.
Does it work for me?
Because there's so many red flags that you see that you let it go. You know what I mean? You don't pay attention to the red flags. You always in tune with that first person that they showed you.
Mm.
Don't go back. If you know that that person ain't real, because women's intuition is very strong for us.
Yeah.
So we know, but we are so scared to be alone. We're scared to not be in a relationship, scared, or I'm not going to get married. Like, I'm 50 and I'm not married yet. You know what I mean? But it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Even if I never get married, I'm okay. Because I'm good with me. I'm good with me. I'm happy with me.
First of all, you said you're 5'0"?
50. Two grandkids. My daughter's 32.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But I'm good with the fact that the last relationship didn't work. You know what I mean? I'm good. Mm-hmm. But what I'm not going to do in going further,
yes,
is not, you know, it's God going to have to say, this is him.
Literally, one time I was like, God, you're going to have to come down in an Adidas gym suit with a Kangol on, some gazelles, some hard shells, and be like, yo, this is who I have for you. I'm pleased with, yeah.
That's what's going to happen. You know what I mean? But it's okay, because in relationships, we got to understand that sometimes stuff don't work out. You know what I mean? So we can't beat ourselves up because it doesn't work out. As women, we need to understand that we are valuable. We're not hard to love. You know what I mean? Like, don't, because that relationship didn't work out and you wanted it to work out, don't feel like because it didn't that you're not valuable.
That's so good. Come on, say it. Thank you so much for sharing that, because so many people think that they're not lovable, or society has told us men are easy to love, women, we're difficult.
Yeah.
We're too complicated.
Yeah. And because we don't have the big, listen, because we don't have that we're not chosable, if that's a word. I'm gonna make it up.
That's it, chosable. And we're gonna write a song about it.
Let's go.
Yeah,
we're good. You're beautiful. Let me tell every woman out there that feel like they have had a relationship that really took them down that road, because it's that road, you're beautiful. And you are worthy of love. You know what I mean? Period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel you write best about heartbreak?
Yeah.
Ah!
It's hard to write about. Hey, let's write it.
About being happy and joyful. I mean, your song created for this. My phone should probably have blown up by now, because that was one of my affirmations.
But you know what? I didn't write that song. Charmelle, she wrote it. I wrote the bridge and all that. You know, we collaborated, but
yeah.
Charlie played me that song. I was doing Charlene, the record Charlene.
Yep.
I played this record and I was like, I need that because that's my testimony. Like, yeah, you can have it. Charmel wrote that and I wrote The Bridge. I think after all I wrote out of that record was The Bridge. She wrote all.
What?
Yeah, I didn't write that record. I wish I had her. If you had asked me, what song have you ever thought that you
wish?
It would have been that. And then Bilal's, what's that record? It's one of Bilal's records. You know, that's one of those records that
yeah.
I had a wrote. I did.
Yeah.
That wasn't me.
Listen, Bilal's got, I mean, I was listening to some folks today and I knew I was going to interview you. I was like, man, I wish we could compile some type of tour. This is just legend status.
Come on.
And now when you said Bilal's name, I was like, okay, Tweet, Bilal. You know, that'd be amazing.
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
My thing I want to do, and I don't mean to interrupt.
You're okay.
But what I want to do before I leave this earth is do a Tammy Terrell, Marvin Gaye record with me and Bilal.
Woo!
That's what I want to do.
We know some folks that can make it happen.
Let's make it happen then.
Some of your musicians know him. Like, come on, what is going on? I'm writing that down and it's that will happen. I mean, I think what we write or speak can happen.
Write the vision down and make
write the vision, make it plain. But I have been saying this in practically every episode. I want people to get it. A friend of mine was so excited one day. He gave me a call and he was like, Michelle, I just learned what the word future means.
Mm.
I was like, well, that's unfortunate for you to be almost 40 and didn't know what the word future mean. We been knew what the word future mean.
Yeah.
I was like, duh, that means tomorrow, something to come.
Yeah.
The next minute, the next second. He was like, no, the word future means the time or period of time following speaking or writing.
Listen.
So you just wrote your future. You just spoke your future. Miss Charlene, Tweet, you spoke your future. So we're going to see it one day.
Yeah, we have
it's to. It's already done.
We have to, because I've talked to him about it. We've talked about it.
Come on. So it's just, yeah, yeah, it's going to happen. We're excited. Now, listen, y'all, we have already gone through so much and we're going to get back to as far as relationships, because I think my listeners definitely want to hear more about your journey. And do you ever feel the pressure of music dropping? Like, do you ever feel pressure? Okay, this has to be better than the last. This has to be...
No, because what I don't do is honestly, I don't listen to what's hot right now, even though okay. You know, people around me hear and know what's hot right now. I don't focus on that. I focus on what I want to do next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I need to be hotter than such and such. Never. My only competition is me. And it's never a competition. Let me just correct that. I just want to put out some music that I've been holding on to. Like even the song that I just dropped is from 2018.
Mm.
So much music that hasn't been allowed to come out because of labels and just different stuff. Like I really feel like I haven't been given, and it's okay. It's okay.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I haven't been given that chance, but it's okay because I have people that really love what I'm doing and it's okay to give what I do when I do.
Yeah.
So I'm good with where I'm at.
I wonder, you know, on our phones, if you're an iPhone user, how you can do voice memos.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those are like song ideas?
Like 1,000. Listen, I have voice memos and I have the video thing. I mean, the voice things. I have from 2000 and I want to say 12. I just did an interview and somebody asked me, how many songs do you think you, Tim and Missy have on y'all, whatever the things, you know? And I said, so many songs. It's so many songs. Like Tashana would tell you, my daughter, her alone, I have at least 1,000 songs.
Wow.
At least 1,000.
I'm just like, can we do a not a music dump? How people be doing photo dumps on Instagram, like, you know, a music dump somehow. Have you ever thought of maybe just not going the traditional label route?
Yeah. What I thought of is, after I turn in this last, and they're going to be mad, E1 is just turned into another name label, but I turn in the EP, I'm just going to really just go independent, you know, where I've just my label here, my own label, and just put out my own music.
Yeah.
Because I appreciate everything they've ever done. You know what I mean? But sometimes the timing, you know what I mean?
It's, you be ready to go and put it out, and it's be like, no, we got to wait for this protocol, parameters.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. It's,
you know,
that, but people just be ready. So even if I do, what's the thing everybody do, but they doing nasty stuff on, what's that called?
Oh, OnlyFans?
Yeah. So OnlyFans, I would make where I just put songs on there that nobody would ever get if you're not an OnlyFans.
I'm here for it.
You know what I mean? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they might get a little sultry picture, not no naked foolish one, but because you take amazing photographs.
Yeah.
Every time you do a photo shoot.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I'm fine. You know, I put these glasses on because.
Stop it.
My makeup artist ain't around me. You know, I can't.
Girl, it is okay. I would never know. Your skin is flawless. And yeah. I would never know anything because glasses, that's your thing. We're excited about Southern Hummingbird Moscato. You can add this title to your name. You're not only a singer or an actor, but you're also a vintner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And you describe Southern Hummingbird Moscato as an adult beverage that is a journey into a sweet, aromatic blend of prestige. Come on.
Yes.
How did you end up creating a wine? Walk us through that journey.
Well, what happened was I always wanted to do a wine. You know, I always just thought I would see my name on the shelves, right?
Mm.
It's a Lady Hope from Houston. She has this branding called Signature Sips. She has a couple of people that, a whole lot of people really, that...
Yeah.
On to her to do the wines and the tastings. I mean, you know, whatever. So she came to me one day online and was like, I'm curious to say if would you want to do? And I was like, hey, I mean, yeah.
Right? Yes.
So we did it. It went like 6 months to get the, you know, the contract and stuff right. But finally, we have Southern Hummingbird Wine, a Sara Moscato.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And it's doing so good. It's doing really good.
Good, good. And developing that, because, I mean, I talked about your voice being so sweet, but to me, when it says a journey into a sweet aromatic blend of prestige, I think that represents you so well.
Thank you.
You know, and everything that you've given us through the years. I know not too long ago, you did mention Missy Elliott and Timbaland, and I try to keep the conversations just relative to the person, but I wouldn't be an interviewer if I don't ask about what it had been like on your journey working with them, and is there anything in the future?
There's definitely, I just talked to Missy last week. We're doing some records together.
Oh, come on.
The journey with them, we will always be connected, like in a way that spiritually and just in a way that nobody else would ever understand, because we went, we were all with Devontae from Jodeci.
Y'all came up together.
When we didn't even know if we was going to be famous. So we went through the trenches and it was almost like a concentration camp. You know what I mean? So we have this bond that nobody ever will understand. And for Missy to come back and to say, after she left and I was still with my group, and then my group disbanded, for her to say, nah, come, I need something, you know, I need you to come and do this. And she just put her trust in me to know that, you know, she believed in my talent. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I would never. And at the time she did that, I was contemplating suicide. You know what I mean? So
I read that. And yeah. Isn't a difference tweet of how one person can change your life simply by them just believing in you?
Yeah. She believed in me, and she came back at a time that I was really, I'm telling you, my daddy had this old blue Lincoln. Back in the day, you can pull the seats out. I would grab money out of the seats to get a 40 ounce of Old English to drink. Mm. So when she called me, I was in that place of my life.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So Missy will always be a special person in my life. Not only is she my sister, but I used her in a way that is like a guardian angel. Like she, because even beyond that, though, she's done stuff for me that I'm like, why? You didn't know I was going through this. Why did, you know what I mean? So I really put her up there on the scale of a guardian angel. I love Missy. Missy is everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's amazing when you said, sometimes we don't know, but God knows, and how he's able to use somebody present here on earth to lift us up, to let us know that, you know, we do have value. And I remember you sharing too, when you were pregnant, how you were sat down in church. Mm-hmm. The typical kind of Pentecostal protocol, if you get pregnant out of wedlock and you're part of the music department or involved in church, you have to sit out. My sister had to do that. Mm-hmm. Do you think the shame that people made you feel? Because with sin, God doesn't make us feel shame, because with loving kindness, he draws us. So if God can still draw me with his love, why do we as humans make a person feel shameful for something that they've done, and you ended up producing a beautiful child? That's first and foremost, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think that shame was the root of addictions and low self-value and not wanting to live?
It started it. Because I was, mind you, I was 18 at the time when they sat me down. So once I met Devontae and them and went through a whole lot of, you're not good enough, you're ugly, you're black, you're dark skinned, you're fat. I was all of 106 pounds. Biggest one of the group at 106. You're fat. You're too fat. You're black. You'll never be anything. This is what I was told. You know what I mean? So, but it started from there. So I only received that because I heard that from the church. Because you did that, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
God is not pleased with you. You know what I mean? Mm. So that led to me being mentally unstable at a time. When my second album came out, I was signed to Elektra. It turned to Atlantic. And at that time, it was a whole lot of stuff going on. So I felt like I had compromised myself in, I turned in a whole album, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They made me take off 6 of my records to do 6 other records that they wanted. But it was good songs, but not what I wanted to.
Not you.
Right? So I was like, I can't do this. Like, and I'm thinking about all the stuff I went through with Devontae. Like, he's a genius, but we went through hell. So I said, no, I'm not doing this. I was going through so much. And I remember watching BET had the gospel something going on. And Tony had sung Lord Make Me Over. Whew. At that point, I was drinking every day, all day. 3 packs a day of cigarettes and drinking. And I heard that and I fell to my knees. I'm like, God, just do whatever you want. That's why I took the hiatus from that second album. That's why you didn't hear from me. Because I said, my soul is more important than this industry. And that's what I did. I did that and I came back. But no, it made an impact on me. And then after going through that and then dating a pastor and seeing and hearing what their motive was, it wasn't about the souls. It was about how much money they could make.
You've just been scarred, hurt, wounded. You've seen some things that you didn't want to see or probably shouldn't have seen, but...
Not now.
Then, right, correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But how those labels... As far as when I say labels, when someone calls you ugly, they put a label on you. When someone says you're black, they put a label on you. You're not good enough. You're too fat at 106 pounds. Mm-hmm. And then fast forwarding to the music where they told you to put six songs, take them off and put these other six songs mm-hmm. that further reiterated you're not good enough, that your natural raw talent is not good enough.
Not good enough.
Now, every now and then, there are sometimes people can see something, be like, this is what you always do, but put a little twist on it. That's different than like making you totally change your sound and everything that we love you to be.
They wanted me to change my whole sound. They wanted me to be hip hop. That's why we put out, if you don't love me, somebody else will. That's what they wanted me to do. When I had other songs that I had already completed, not to go against whatever, because that song is dope. I love that song.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they wanted me to do at that time. I was like, I'm done. Because I have more to offer than that, you know?
And sometimes those labels, when they come from somebody you trust and look up to, so meaning words that your mother or father spoke over you, or a minister or a woman in the church that you really admired, or a label executive that you really look up to admire. It's like you believe it when they say it.
Mm-hmm.
You do. Because it must, it's like, well, if they're saying it, it must be true.
It must be true. Mm-hmm. It must be true.
Because a stranger at Starbucks can say it to you, yeah. And you'd be like, man, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Give me my latte.
But think about this. As I was growing up and even in elementary school, I was always called the ugly black monkey, like skin tone. So dealing with that and then coming into the industry and saying, you're ugly, you're dark. You know what I mean? That played a role. You know, I was like, but that happens. That happens.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that those words were said to you, because those are lies and they are not true. And I was taught, and I'm going to further study this, how people don't even know they're used by the enemy to plant seeds in you.
Mm-hmm.
But Satan knows what he's doing, because he knows he kind of got a small glimpse, not a total glimpse, of your life and your future.
Yeah.
So let me plant seeds in her at a young age so she does not fulfill
absolutely
God's assignment on her life.
Absolutely. 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 And he gonna come after what you know you done confessed.
So you do know that those are lies, because I say it all the time, the enemy does his job. He steals, kills, and destroys. He full-time on it.
Absolutely.
Probably got 401k on that. He does his job, right?
Yeah.
But God's words are life-giving.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it still hurts when somebody you love says it, even though you know, like, that statement ain't giving me life.
Mm-mm.
That didn't come from God, nor I don't think God sent you.
Right.
To talk to me like that.
Mm-hmm. But I think when I was in a group, it was because the person that told me was dealing with some things. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what happened with that. Because it wasn't only me, the other group members too, that he had a problem with. You know what I mean? And so, but we're in a good place now.
It's so good. Have you been able to forgive?
That's the only thing I could, you know what I mean? That's the only thing I think gives me, when I say I forgive somebody, and really forgive somebody, it's like a weight. Because when I really forgive you, I forgive you. Mm. No matter if you accept it or not, I forgive you. I might not forget, but I forgive you because it's going to hurt me if I don't.
Mm.
But I really do, because my heart is not like that. I know you didn't mean it. You might have not meant, you know what I mean? I'm not a hurtful person. My heart is good. Like, I'm not that type of person. So
right.
I'm a forgiving person, for real.
Well, which helps the name of your song, Never Gonna Break My Heart Again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm gonna bring it on back.
Come on.
Because when you choose to forgive, you're also keeping your heart posture okay and in the right place. Now, people think that when you forgive, that means we finna go to brunch tomorrow.
No.
It's like, no, forgiveness is actually just me releasing you so you can go on and mm-hmm. I want you to eat, but you're not eating over here at this table.
Say it again.
I want you to eat, dear heart. Oh, I want you to eat. I want you to eat good. Not this table that's reserved.
And no hard feelings.
That's so good.
No hard feelings. I wish you well, and I forgive you. Period.
Mm. Well, I'm trying to add on to the 80,000 songs you do have. I'm like, I want her to write something that simply says, I wish you well.
I wish you well. I do, because it's some people, listen, it's some relationships. It's some people that you really, really know have good heart. They're good hearted. Or they really have good in them, but they just ain't at that place. You know what I mean? So you wish them well, because you know eventually you're going to get there. Just not.
That's so good.
You know what I mean? I wish you well.
Mm. Is it hard for you to not insert like your feelings and energy into helping somebody to be well and do good?
It's hard. It's hard. Because I feel like I can save everybody. But it's not my job. It's God's job.
Yeah. I've been trying to live by this statement I saw called that says, observe, don't absorb.
Yeah. Yep. You feel like you can buy their love. You can buy their way into. You can do whatever. It's not your job to do that.
Not your job. Now, it is our job to have empathy.
Yeah.
Sympathize. Man, I'm so sorry for what you're going through. I understand what you're going through. Or empathy, put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
There's another thing that where you can also offer and say, I've actually been there. I know what you're going through. I want to walk beside you, but I can't do the work for you.
No, I'm not going to do it for you. But I know what you've been through. If you need help, I got you. But you ain't going to use me. How about that?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So on your journey of healing, what are you able to do when life feels like it's maybe a bit overwhelming or some uncertainties?
Well, now what I've learned, because it has been from the pandemic, it's been really hard with a lot of stuff I've been dealing with death and family, just stuff. I've learned to calm myself down, take 10 minutes, calm, 10, 9, all of that, and pray. We sometimes feel like we are God and we can fix stuff, and we can't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We can't do it. Because after we tell somebody what to do, they're going to come back and say, I did that, but that didn't work.
Mm.
So my thing is now is just to rely on God to do the work. You do the work, but God too.
I feel like God sees the work that we're putting in, and he just continues to walk beside us. And it's like once we take a step forward, he'll take the other two, and he'll provide resources and people on our path to let us know that we are actually on the right path.
Yeah.
And Tweet, thank you for being so open about your journey, whether it's through an interview or through your music. And I don't want you to stop. And I just hope that you continue and to continue doing something in this sphere for women.
My thing is, like, I really, honestly, Michelle, I don't even know how long I'm going to sing again.
Don't you say that. What do you mean? Ain't that selfish of us, by the way, us consumers and fans? What you talking about? You're not. Girl, I don't care if your hair is gray. You better be ooping and never gonna break my heart. All of that.
No,
I'm with your hat and glasses on.
I'm being honest, like, because I feel like God has something else for me to do. So I don't know if it's musical. I don't know, but I know I'm in a place that I feel like is bigger than this.
Yeah.
So okay. I'm just gonna follow his lead.
And listen, I know God enough to know when somebody says that, you just say, "All right." I'm not gonna be so, honey. Because when somebody say, God showed me there's something I'm supposed to be doing. Because yeah. Like I said, us as fans, it's like we know you for this, and we want you to do this. And it's like, what if this person has grown and evolved?
Yeah,
right.
But because really, fans and people that love the music don't really know what you go through.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm just gonna say, it's music coming. But it's going to be a time where I'm going to do something else. I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is, but it's bigger than this. It's bigger than this music. It's bigger than music.
I'm supporting everything. I'm excited. I do love Moscato. So where can we get it?
www.amoscato.com. Amoscato.com.
Okay. And we're here for it. And my prayer is that we are seeing it at our favorite retailers. I'm excited because I know we'll be seeing you doing pop-ups. I'm just speaking the future. And I'm really, really excited for you. And thank you for sharing. I'm excited about this new music. Everybody, it is out right now. Now, will an EP follow this single?
Yes, yes. The end of October.
End of October. Okay, do you have an exact date?
No exact date, but end of October with videos and everything.
Woo! Y'all, she's working hard during, this is still considered a pandemic, and just us as entertainers and artists, people in media, we thank you for your support and patience as a lot of us are navigating how to do things safely and how to still do our art. So Tweet, we're excited for this video and for new music. We're excited.
I appreciate you for just being open about everything that's happening in your life, because you're an inspiration to so many people. So I thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
For being my inspiration.
Oh.
To be open. So thank you.
Well, we're going to do something together. I don't know what. I just know every now and then, I don't know if you ever see the comments. I see a few times a year, people say, Michelle and Tweet need to do something together. Or they'll say, maybe a background vocal they heard, be like, this reminds me of Tweet. And yeah. So I honor you and give you your flowers. And, you know, I'm one of the ones that listens to you and I pick apart melodically. Okay, wow, she did that there. And then when you work with Solange, I was like, I fell out. I was like, oh my Lord, yes!
I love her so much.
Yes.
Beautiful soul.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So I won't hold you. I'm thankful for you. And we will continue to support your music. Thank you for checking in, Tweet.
No problem. Thank you. I love you.
I love you more. I love you so much. I really, really believe that the theme of this interview, once again, is an overcomer. Tweet has gone through so much, but she's overcome so much. But the things that she's gone through, if you weren't strong and you don't believe in your gift, you probably would have sat out the game. You probably would have bowed out the game. You probably would decide, I'm just going to sit on the sideline and watch everybody else succeed and go on to live their dreams. And so I hope that encourages you, no matter what's thrown your way, no matter what's said to you, no matter what's said about you, that you will keep going. Remember that it's what you say to yourself and it's what you say about yourself that is the foundation of self-love. And if you have that, when someone says something to you that's contrary to what you say about yourself, you'll keep going. But the crazy thing is, what paralyzes us and what stumps us is when we come into agreement
with what somebody says to us that's contrary to what we actually believe? Or do you actually believe those things that somebody says to you or about you? Do you believe that you're not good enough? Do you believe that you're not enough? Do you believe those unfortunate things that people say that really is just them projecting their anger, their insecurity, their fear, their woe is me, their inability to run after the things that they want to do? People do project those things on you. And so don't be that person. All right. There's so much to unpack in this episode. You might have to really, really just take some time to get isolated and listen to everything that is said and just apply it to you and just make sure that you're not projecting or make sure that you're not receiving what somebody says as truth unless it is rooted in love. All right. There are hard things that people can say to you, but as long as it's rooted in love and they want the best for you, I can take it. I have a mentor and, you know, they say some things that's rough, tough, you know, and I have to take it and be like, because they are where I'm continuing to aspire to be. But that's different than somebody just being mean-spirited and evil and rude and calling you out your name or just saying things like you're ugly, you're not good enough, you don't sound good, you don't weigh this. That's just absolutely ridiculous. So I'm really, my heart goes out to tweet. My heart goes out to folks that have had to deal with that. Ugh, I just hate it. I hate when you have to read negative things about yourself. But guess what? Whether you read something negative about yourself or you hear something negative about yourself, guess what? You have the choice to believe it or not. I choose not to believe. All right. So thank y'all for sending me love on a daily basis, letting me know how this podcast is helping you, how it's one of your favorites. Somebody told me that they look forward to this podcast as much as they do payday. So thank you, darling. I love you too. Oh gosh, thank y'all so much for continuing to check in, subscribing, and telling everybody about the podcast. Until next week, know that you are loved. Checking In with Michelle Williams is a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.